Our reading this morning is from the New Testament and can be found on page 962 in the Bibles in the pew. This is a continuation of the reading of chapter 15 from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and this morning's reading is verses 50 to 58. This is God's word for us. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading.
Hear our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It was the Sunday after Easter that we started off reading this 15th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. At 58 verses, it's not the longest chapter in the New Testament, but it's in the top three or four. This morning, we come to the end, the great conclusion. After 57 verses, writing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, writing about the invitation to us that we should live the resurrection, what's the conclusion? Remember Terry Wogan used to do a show, he would give half a phrase and then blankety blank. But imagine we had 57 verses and then just the number 58 and blankety blank. What would you put as the conclusion to a chapter on the resurrection? Perhaps you might write, "Therefore, because Jesus is resurrected, we know that there is life after death." Or possibly, "Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we know he is God." Or you might think of writing something like, "Because of the resurrection, we know that we can go to heaven after we die." But none of these are what the apostle has written about. And so none of these are an appropriate conclusion to this chapter on the resurrection. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters," he means all who are disciples of Jesus, "be steadfast, stand firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Wonder how many of us would have thought that was the conclusion to a chapter on the resurrection. The great conclusion of the Apostle Paul is not about future life after death. It isn't about the divinity of the Lord Jesus. That's established elsewhere in the New Testament. No, the conclusion of the resurrection is life. That's what it's all about. Life. A life which you and I are called to live. Not only a life which is waiting for us in some after-death future, but a life which begins today and continues tomorrow and every other day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we might live. That's what it's all about. Will you live then? Will you live the life which the resurrection of Jesus calls you to? Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable. I suppose there are many things we might want to say about an anchor. But perhaps the most important thing is that when it's put in its place, it's immovable. It is steadfast and sure. If your anchor drifts or slips when you lower it down under the sea, then the ship is going to end up in trouble. But even when you raise the anchor, you need it to be firmly fixed in its place. The last thing any ship needs is a great anchor hurtling about the deck. That's what the conclusion here is. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Stand firm. Doesn't it seem just a little bit dull? A bit of a letdown? This is the great conclusion to the resurrection. Stand firm. Stand firm in the reality of the resurrection. There is a resurrection. This is not only a promise which God has made for the future, but now in the past, this is a reality because God has raised Jesus from the dead. Both historical fact and spiritual truth, we believe in the resurrection. The purpose of God is life, not death. The good news is that life is now. It is for us today. The temptation is to believe that there is no resurrection, that what we see is all there is. You live and you die, and when you die, you're going to stay dead. But this is not our faith. This is not our hope. God works life in us, the life of the resurrection, and we are to be steadfast in that resurrection life. Stand firm in Christ Jesus. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. There really was no body in the tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning. There really was a body which met with the disciples, which walked on the road to Emmaus, which cooked fish for a morning breakfast. Christ Jesus is risen and alive. He is our present help in time of trouble, our hope and our peace, because he is alive. The temptation is to believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and stayed buried. But this cannot be. We confess our faith that nothing can separate us from the great love of God the Father for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then, in that we are also confessing that nothing in all creation will separate Jesus who loves us from us. He rose again because he could not bear to be apart from you. He rose again because he loves you. Stand firm in this. Stand firm in King Jesus being the victor. He has defeated every foe. He has triumphed over death and hell. King Jesus shares the blessings of his victory. He brings us as co-heirs together with him, fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. The temptation is to believe that nothing has changed. that systems of greed and power continue to rule in this world? Well, they don't. Thanks be to God who opens our blind eyes and lets us see the signs of the resurrection life breaking out among us. Signs of kind words spoken to encourage. Signs of generous sharing as the blessings which God gives us we share with others. Signs of compassionate care for those who are in need. The kingdom has come. The children of God are at work in his kingdom, living the resurrection and extending his kingdom day by day. A disciple called Simon had his name changed as an example to us all. You are Peter the Rock. That's a good name for a disciple of the resurrected Jesus. Steadfast, immovable, stuck on Jesus and not moving from him. A dying Savior hung suspended between heaven and earth. He was mocked and tempted. Come down from the cross, they said. What a Savior. He was steadfast and immovable. He refused to come down from that cross until it was finished. We today are to be the immovable ones. Those who have been grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Every song of praise sung, every prayer uttered, fixes us just a bit more firmly in Jesus our Savior. This is the Spirit's work to unite us with Christ. Because of the resurrection, we stand firm and we do not move. This is the life we're summoned to. Will you live there? Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, always abound in the work of the Lord. A superabundance, an excelling, an overflowing. Like pouring too much water into a cup, it's going to fill up and spill over and spread out. We know what it is to abound. In watching TV, in eating biscuits, in criticizing and complaining. We all abound in something. We all abound in different things. But Paul is not encouraging us to abound in things that are of no value, or even worse, tear others down. But rather, we are to abound in the work of the Lord. The Lord Jesus often described his life and ministry as carrying out the work my Father gave me to do. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians of the God who works in you both to will and to work his good will. Earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, we are God's fellow workers. Somehow the idea has gotten out there. I don't know where it came from. But somehow the idea's got out there that all we need to do is become Christian, profess our faith in Jesus, and then we get to do nothing for the rest of eternity. The gospel is there is work for you to do, and you are to abound in it. Work suited for your hands, your abilities, your interests. There is someone in need today. And they would welcome the touch of your hand. As simple as that, just holding someone's hand. Abound in the work of the Lord, sharing love and grace. There's someone lost today, and they would welcome your words of truth and mercy and welcome. As simple as that. Speak about God's love in your life, and you will share that good news with whoever hears you. God loves them. There's someone in prison today, persecuted for their faith in Jesus, and they need your prayers. As simple as that. Lord, be with those persecuted for their faith in Jesus today. That's not too difficult a prayer. What a blessing to those in prison to know that they're remembered. And they're prayed for. May the God who opens blind eyes open our blind eyes. The work of the Lord is all around us. The fields are white for harvest, and we are the laborers sent in to work in those fields. Acts of kindness, words of grace, prayers of compassion abound in the work of the Lord. In Acts 9, we read of a disciple called Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of compassion. The other disciples in the town spoke about her work for the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if others in the town, in the city, in our street, spoke about our work for the Lord? Today, we are to be the ones who abound in the work of the Lord, not just now and then, not when we can fit it in, but a superabundance, overflowing, pouring from our lives into the lives of others. The good news of the kingdom cannot be selfish because it must flow from us to others. Living the resurrection is not a spectator sport. It is participation. You can only live the resurrection when you join in. Abound in the work of the Lord. Do his work till you're exhausted. And then you'll learn that his grace is sufficient for you. But you'll only learn that when you have abounded in his work. This is the life the resurrection calls us to. Will you live this life? Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Aren't you brokenhearted for the young people in our communities today? We told them that they should stick in at school and work hard at their exams and stick in at university and get a good degree, and then they would get a good job. So they did. We watched them. We encouraged them. We helped them. They got their good results at qualifications at school. They got their good degree. But where now is their good job? Haven't we all labored at something, and it hasn't worked out the way we'd hoped? Might have been a DIY project, or the gardening, or something else we were doing. The reward for our labor doesn't appear. It's as though we've got nothing to show for our work. And so we fall into doubt. Was it all worth it? Why should we try hard at anything? There's no benefit for us in any of this. But the Lord will be no person's debtor. Your labor and your hard work for him will never be empty. Just back in 1 Corinthians 3 again, Apollos planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase. The God of the harvest promises you fruit from your labor for him. We don't get to make the fruit grow. God makes the fruit grow. He gives the increase. Don't try to do God's work. You can't do it, and you'll just get up frustrated when you try. But do your work. Plant, water, plant, water. Good seed, good water. Trust his promise. Work at it, and he will do the rest. When it came time to build the first temple in Jerusalem, David was the king. But he didn't get to build the temple. All he got to do was gather together the stone and the timber. He didn't even get to put one brick on top of another. He had to hand it all over to Solomon, his son. Sometimes our labor for the Lord is like this. We work and pray and labor to pass it on to someone else. Don't be downhearted at this. Rejoice that you have a place in the great work of the Lord. Trust that what you pass on, God will finish. Your labor will not have been in vain. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross that first Easter, no one got it. Not a single person in the whole world. All the disciples had run away and left him. But not one moment, not one word of his labor and his energy and his ministry was wasted or fruitless. 2,000 years of women and men brought into the kingdom. through the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus? Or what about the Scottish ministry in the 19th century when he went to Korea? He was murdered on the quayside stepping off the ship. 15 years later, the next missionary rolled into Korea and discovered a Christian church there. Someone had gone through this murdered missionary's bags and found a Bible and read it and came to faith and told their neighbors and planted a church. No labor, no work, no service for the Lord is ever without fruit or in vain. So what is the Lord calling you to do? Serve tea and coffee after a service? Volunteer for a Lego after school club? Join one of our small groups? Bake something for the produce stall? You can do it. And you can know for certain that the Lord will multiply it. It will grow in his hands as work for him. Today may be a day for laboring, for planting and watering. Well, let's labor and plant and water. Do it with the joy of the Lord, and that will be our strength. But none of our planting or watering or laboring will be without fruit in the kingdom of God. This is the great conclusion. This is the life we're called to in the resurrection, a life of service, which places its trust in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Jesus died and rose again so that in every day, in every ordinary day, you and I might live the resurrection. This is what he calls us to. We are resurrection people. Why would you exchange this life for any other way of life? This is the only life worthy of a disciple of Jesus. Stand firm here. Abound in his service. And he will bring the fruit. Will we stand firm in the resurrection? Will we live the life our God is calling us to? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We praise you for the good news of the resurrection. Not only resurrection for Jesus, but resurrection for all of us. And we pray that we would live today that resurrection life. Keep us fixed on Jesus. Keep us laboring in your service. And we pray that you would bless us with fruit that we can see, that you would pour out the blessings of your harvest upon us. Keep us as resurrection people for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.